If you want to become a more successful negotiator, not just in property, but in many areas of your life, you're going to enjoy today's podcast, which is the second of a two-part series on how to win at auction. But today I'm going to discuss the psychological tricks that auctioneers and estate agents use to get that last dollar out of your pocket. And I'm going to do that in the hope that if you understand these techniques, you're going to become a better negotiator, not just at auction, but in all real estate transactions. Now, in the last episode, I had a chat with my son, Bryce Yardney, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to that show yet, please do so. You don't have to do it before this episode. Do it after, wherever you listen to these podcasts, because in that show, we discussed how auctions are a particularly popular method of selling properties, but for all the street theatre, for all their entertainment value, auctions represent a lot of stress. They represent a lot of tension for those involved. Now, you can be sure that the pressure is going to reach boiling point with so much money at stake, which means that buyers, sellers, and even the agents have a tough time keeping their nervous energy, their emotions under control. After you've attended a number of auctions, you're going to realize that a lot of that street theatre, a lot of the pressure is intentionally manufactured to get the best results for the seller, for the vendor. A good auctioneer can create an atmosphere of excitement, an atmosphere of nervous competition, as well as using some, let's call them sneaky techniques that I'm about to uncover for you that encourage buyers to pay a little bit more than they may have initially intended. So to be successful, you've got to become aware of these little tricks agents are going to use on you. Now, even if you're not planning to buy a property at auction or even to buy a property in the near future, you're going to find that while most real estate agents who are good negotiators use these psychological principles I'm going to share with you, they relate not just to property auctions or property negotiations, but also to other areas of your life as well. So as I show you how to spot these practices and how to handle them, I hope you're going to find the lessons are going to be useful in negotiations in all areas of your life. In fact, my discussion with you today comes out of a chapter of my top-selling book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade, which, by the way, I strongly recommend you buy if you're interested in getting the best deal every time, whether you're buying or whether you're selling. Now, you can find that with all my other books at michaelyardneybooks.com.au. Now, welcome to all the new listeners to this show. I see the subscriber numbers keep rising consistently, but regular listeners know that I most of the time have a guest on this podcast or a couple of guests and we have a chat, but today it's just going to be me talking to you, because there are some important lessons I'd like to get across. So, welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Last week, my son Bryce Yardney and I discussed the tactics that we use to help secure properties at auction. Today, I'd like to further on that by discussing with you a section from my book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade. Now, I'm really proud of that book because it's been translated into two foreign languages already. These principles are universal. And if you're interested in becoming a better negotiator, influencer or persuader, if you're interested in getting the best deal every time, whether you're a buyer or seller, why not go to negotiateinfluencepersuade.com.au and get your own copy of the book. But today we're going to talk a bit about the psychology of auctions, because that's what the book Negotiate, Influence, Persuade is about. It's about the psychology of buying and selling and why people make decisions. And it's not just for salespeople, it's for you as a consumer to stop you being at the wrong end of a negotiation. And that's what I'm going to talk about now with regard to auctions, because when you're buying a property, you're dealing with salespeople, professionals, whose job it is to get the best deal for their clients, the vendor, and they use psychological techniques correctly, fairly, at auctions. But if you don't understand what they're doing, you're potentially shark bait. So you need a very different set of techniques at auction than you would with just a normal private sale. Of course, estate agents love selling at auction because they've got the control of the selling environment. And they use many of these techniques that I share in my book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade, to maximize the price they achieve for their clients, the vendor, and they eke out the last cent out of many buyers. That could be you. Now, let's look at some of these techniques. And the first one that they use is something I call social proof. Smart selling agents understand this concept of social proof. And so they know it's a way of easing the mind of worried potential purchasers so that they're keen to show potential buyers that there are many other people similar to them who are also interested in the property. After all those other people gathered at the home before the auction, they can't be wrong, can they? So prior to the auction, they conduct open for inspections. They do it at specific times to ensure there are multiple interested parties going through. Now, of course, with COVID, sometimes that can't be the case, but they get the best result when there's lots of people going through the property at the same time. By the way, they also make sure all the neighbours know the property's for sale to ensure they have a large crowd that gathers at auction day. Again, adding to the social proof that, hey, if everybody else is interested, it must be a good property. Because as humans, we like to do what others do. That's part of why we like being part of a crowd, part of a group. Of course, when you see other potential bidders bidding against you, you tend to also think, hey, this must be a good property, or that price must be fair. Otherwise, other people wouldn't be bidding. And we feel reassured and we're prepared to sometimes pay a bit too much. It's an extremely effective technique that selling agents use, as we tend to look at other people for validation regarding what we should do, what we should buy, what we shouldn't buy. And this is especially the case with property. Another psychological trigger estate agents use when selling a property at auction. Now, by the way, these techniques don't only apply to auction. So as I go through them, you're going to recognize they apply in many cases to private sales as well. But another one's scarcity. Selling agents know that we value things that are, or at least seem to be, scarce. So let's look at how they use this knowledge to encourage you to make that extra bid or two at auction. In their preamble, you'll often hear the auctioneer explain how rare it is to find a property like this. It's on the right side of the street. Of course, if you were selling a property on the other side of the street, he'd say, hey, we're on the right side of the street. At times, they're going to manufacture perceived scarcity by playing up the attributes of the property. Another way they create scarcity is by having the property auctioned on site, where there's only one property for sale, rather than an auction room where there are multiple properties on sale, you know, one after the other. If it's a period property, even better. They're going to wax lyrical about how they don't make houses like this anymore and talk about the character of the home, its period era details, its uniqueness. You see, the auction's job is to play on the purchaser's emotions by creating scarcity, by creating fear of missing out, suggesting the property's just about to be knocked down as he calls for those final bids, you know, the first, the second, the third call. And then they'll say something like, again, trying to create scarcity, they're going to say something like, don't come to me on Monday and ask if I've got another property like this for sale, because I don't. Well, of course they do. There's no properties exactly alike. But the real fear they're playing on is that you will never find another home that you love as much. That's probably not true, of course, but the aim is to make you panic, to have a bit of fear of missing out, to create scarcity. So again, I'm just working through some of the psychological tricks that agents use to maximize the price they achieve at auction. It's important for you to understand those. Have you ever noticed how auctioneers will talk about successful bidders as having won the auction? Now, that's a very clever tactic because it makes you feel good. Now, another technique estate agents use at auctions is the concept of reciprocity. That's the principle of giving your customers something before you ask of anything from them. It relies on the fact that we tend to return good deeds. I've seen agents expertly using this principle by placing a coffee truck outside the house prior to the auction, offering attendees free coffee, or agents working with the auctioneer walking around during the auction, handing out chocolates, lollipops or treats to members of their crowd, and particularly to children. These actions make you positively disposed to talking to the agents, to working with the agents. It breaks down the barriers. It makes you more likely to bid at auction. Again, I'm suggesting that you should be aware of these techniques so that they don't catch you off guard, so that you bid at auction with your head and not your heart. And of course, if you're not in the position to do that, and it is very difficult, I genuinely suggest you use a buyer's agent to represent you, somebody who's experienced at bidding at auction. Now, another technique auctioneers will use is something called anchoring. Anchoring is a cognitive bias tendency where we tend to rely too heavily on an initial piece of information, the anchor, when making decisions about the quality or worth of something. Someone drops an anchor by mentioning a figure, and immediately we think the worth of that object is in that ballpark. First impressions can be hard to shake because we tend to selectively filter. So anchoring bias can influence how much you're willing to pay. The effect works because when you're given a figure, such as advertised asking price for a property or a suggested end sale price or a buying range, you're likely, whether knowing or not, to anchor your judgment by using the numbers as a reference, you know, the anchor. That's why the auctioneer is likely to say something like, properties like this one generally sell for $1.5 million. Now, the auctioneer didn't lie, but that doesn't mean this particular property is worth $1.5 million. However, he's anchored that figure in your mind, and it's likely to impact on how you bid. Or at least he hopes so. And don't be surprised if the auctioneer repeats that anchoring price during the auction at a time when the bidding is stalled and that figure of $1.5 million suddenly comes up. He's just trying to trick your brain into reminding itself that that initial high price was the price it was thinking about. Now, today there's legislation in each state governing how agents quote a potential selling price or how they give a price guide, as the vendor's asking price actually isn't revealed. What the vendor wants or his reserve isn't revealed before auction. Yet I find smart agents begin the process of anchoring a potential price long before auction day. It starts during the selling campaign when potential purchasers ask the agent, well, what do you think the property's going to sell for? And you're going to find the agent saying something like, well, the price we're being quoted is X, but we've already had strong interest at Y. The way to counteract this anchoring bias is to come to the auction prepared with your own independent research. You've got to already have a good understanding of what the value of the property is and not be biased by what you hear the auctioneer say or by what the other bidders bid. Remember, they're unlikely to be as well informed as you are, and they're not likely to be skilled negotiators like the auctioneer and the selling agents are. So in your research, you're going to find that there are some outliers where seemingly identical properties sold for a significantly higher price. The key is to understand the context behind why that particular property sold. Maybe there were just one or two buyers with deep pockets who really, really wanted that property at all costs. Now, the agent's undoubtedly going to use the sales evidence of these outlying properties to convince you the property that he's selling you or she's selling you is similar and most likely is going to sell for the same price. So it's important as part of your homework, as part of your preparation, to understand these circumstances, the context of what's going on. Now, that's very difficult because you don't necessarily see that when you do research on realestate.com or domain or see sales prices. And that's, again, why having an experienced buyer's agent on your side will be able to tell you, because they'll know what's going on, why a particular property sold for more than it should have, or another one maybe less than it should have. So you need to understand the rationale behind that and take this into account when forming your judgment of what a fair price is going to be for the property you're interested in. By the way, in many cases, it won't be as near as those outliers. Of course, in a rising market, as we're experiencing around most parts of Australia, a price of 2-3 months ago is going to be irrelevant. I mean, if you think about it, with there being more buyers around than sellers, a property that's going on the market today, well, the sellers are well informed and the buyers are well informed and the sellers know about the one that sold down the road and they're not prepared to sell theirs for less. And buyers who missed out on that one are probably prepared to pay more as well. So it's often difficult, particularly in our hot market at the moment, to come up with a top price. So remember what we mentioned in my chat with Bryce last week. You should come up with three prices. One, which is the property value that you think it is, a fair market value. Don't expect it a bargain. The second price is probably the price you'd like to get it at, which would be a bit less than that. And the third price is the price you're prepared to extend yourself when you go to auction, so that if you didn't get the auction on Monday, if it went higher than that, if the price went higher than that on Monday, you wouldn't be cross with yourself that you walked away. And that's the price you should be prepared to go to. Now, I'm walking through with you a number of psychological techniques that agents use to help get the best price for their purchaser. And remember, this is covered in my book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade. Another technique, another trick they use is called loss aversion. It's another cognitive bias where the pain of losing something is psychologically two or three times more powerful as the pleasure of gaining something. In other words, we feel the pain of losing it much more severely than the pain we feel of winning an equal outcome. By the way, this is very, very common. A good auctioneer will understand that your fear of losing out on the opportunity of purchasing a property that you've already considered yours and that you spent money on and you've done a building and pest inspection and you've done all the due diligence and you've got your solicitor look at the contract and you invested time. They know that the fear of losing out is going to be very strong for you. And they play on this fear in a number of ways during the auction. If the auction, for example, fails to reach the reserve price required to sell, a good auctioneer will say, if you don't bid now, you're going to lose the opportunity to negotiate with us to purchase this property. They're framing the situation as something you're going to lose, rather than saying, if you do bid now, you'll have the opportunity to negotiate with us. Other phrases I've heard auctioneers use to target your emotions include, if you let someone else buy this property now, you'll be out looking at auctions again next weekend. How often have you heard them say that? Or something like, I know your wife is shaking her head saying, don't bid any higher, but do you know who's going to be in trouble when you get home if you don't buy this property? So this is a way auctioneers playing on this loss aversion, this cognitive bias, the way we think. Another bias that we have is called recency bias. It's the phenomenon of a person most easily remembering something that's just happened most recently compared to remembering things that may have occurred a while back. This means investors are inclined to make decisions based on the immediate past events, believing future outcomes will likely correlate to recent occurrences. That's why a good auctioneer will use this principle by telling you how much properties there have increased in value over the last year. They won't mention that period 5 or 6 years ago when properties failed to increase in value. But if there has been some strong growth, and boy has there around the markets at the moment, they're going to tell you about it. Boy, you're sure to hear about it. So that's just another little trick agents use to understandably try and get the best price for their vendors. There's a few other tactics a good auctioneer will use as well. They'll often encourage you to pay more by saying things like, owning a home in the street is going to be an excellent investment. Well, what are they getting at? Well, they're playing at the fact that you're more likely to put your hard-earned money into an investment rather than just frivolously pay for an expensive home for your family, even if you plan to live in the property rather than renting it out as an investment. Auctioneers will often minimise the amounts they're going to ask you to bid, so it seems easier for you to digest. For example, if the current bid is $750,000, then rather than asking you to bid $755,000, which sounds like a lot, they'll ask you if you've got another $5,000 in your pocket, or even another $1,000. They're hoping by not mentioning the full amount that they're wanting you to pay, the $755,000, but just saying $5,000, you're going to forget how much you're paying. Now, I've also heard a smart auctioneer use the line, it's only money, you know it'll be worthless in the future. A cheeky auctioneer that I saw at an auction recently said, it's just a property, not a wife. If you don't like it, you can sell it. He's obviously trying to trivialise the property buying process, and you need to guard yourself against tactics like this. Of course, a good auctioneer is going to be using many or all of these techniques to encourage you to bid a bit more. And the potential combined effect of these, That's actually staggering. So to avoid falling into traps auctioneers set for us, we should make ourselves aware of these biases. That's why I'm taking the time to explain them to you and why I'm genuinely recommending you get my book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade. Just go to negotiateinfluencepersuade.com.au or michaelyardneybooks.com.au and you'll find about it. Because once you know the tricks, once you understand your own biases, once you understand the fears that are being played on, you can take a step back and ensure that you don't fall prey to these techniques. In a moment, I want to share with you six auction sins, some blunders that you should avoid at all costs that are going to give you the psychological edge and make it more likely that you're going to be successful bidding at auction. But before I do, I just want to remind you that despite our markets moving up now, despite being a year into a strong property cycle, not all properties are going to perform the same. In fact, a rising tide lifts all ships, but not at the same level. So moving forward, it's going to be even more critical than ever. The first part of the cycle, almost all properties did really, really well. But now as affordability and other issues are going to come into play, you're going to find that it's going to be harder to find what I call an investment grade property. But we can help you at Metropole. Why not go to metropole.com.au, find out about our range of services. And they generally start by putting a strategic plan together to help you plan to become the person you plan to become, to help you understand whether what you're currently doing is going to help you achieve your goals, to help you understand whether your goals are realistic and what you need to do to achieve them. And then we'll help you implement the strategic property plan we build together for you using our buyer's agency services, property management, renovations, development, wealth advisory, financial planning. We've got a whole range of holistic services, and that's what you need at this stage of the cycle, more than just a buyer's agent, more than just a property strategist. Go to metropole.com.au and I look forward to being part of your ongoing wealth creation journey. Well, let's talk about those six auction sins I mentioned to you, because auctions can be a psychological battle. It's important to have a strategy in place to give you the best chance of winning on the day. Of course, it's no different from any other major negotiation, is it? Which means there are some things you should do and some things you shouldn't do at auction, blunders that could cost you that psychological edge. And the first one I've seen, and it amazes me, but people do it, is they don't bid. Not at the beginning and not at all. I've seen prospective buyers who just don't want to make a bid, and some even let the property pass in to another buyer. In other words, they don't buy it, but they don't bid the highest bid so that when the property is negotiated privately, when passed in, it goes to a different buyer. Then they hang around outside the auction hoping the deal isn't reached so they can jump in and negotiate the bargain of a century. That's not going to happen. In fact, that's a terrible tactic in today's hot property market. The way to be a winner is to actually bid. As I've said, be the first bidder. Bid strongly. Make sure you're the last one to bid if it doesn't get to the final price and it gets passed in, so you can negotiate with the seller. The next big auction mistake I see people make is deciding to finalise their bid on a round number. Never finish your bidding on a round number, because that's what most bidders do. They set their limits to a round number, which means that maybe one or two small increments above that number could win you the property. So rather than setting a limit at, I don't know, $750,000, set yours at $757,000, a couple of bids above where others may stop. Many bidders set themselves an inflexible limit, and it's usually a round number, $700,000, $800,000, $1 million. And there's no valid reason for that. And often buyers can miss out an opportunity because they're just not prepared to make that extra bid of, I don't know, $500, $1,000. And that's silly when you think about the long-term capital growth potential they may be missing out on. As I mentioned, there are three prices you should set. The price you'd love to pay, the price you'd be happy to pay, in other words, what you think really is the market price, and the price that's going to really hurt, but once you've snared the property, you're going to look back in a couple of years' time and it really won't hurt much at all. But it's a price you're going to be happy to extend yourself to buy that property. Anything above that, you'd be comfortable walking away knowing that it doesn't matter, you'll find another one. So my suggestion is never finish that price, that high price, on a round number. And other people know this strategy as well. So they're going to go one bid above a round number. You go two bids above a round number. The next auction no-no is stopping and starting bidding. Buyers who pause mid-auction tend to talk with their family, pick up the phone and speak, get instructions. They give away their intentions more than they know. So it's important for a buyer to bid strongly, seem firm. Now, if you need your partner there and you need to decide what's going on, decide who's actually bidding. Determine any non-verbal cues, how you're going to communicate during the auction. But only one person bids, and they bid strongly, and they don't confer, because it's got to seem like you've got so much more in your pocket. Of course, to make yourself more comfortable with these situations, attend as many auctions as you can. Watch the street theatre. Learn how successful bidders behave. Watch their body language. Watch their interaction with the auctioneer. If you're keen to buy, you need to be assertive. You need to, even if you're on your last bid, make it seem like you've got lots more bids up your sleeve. The fourth auction no-no is asking if the property is on the market. That sort of means, is it for sale? Has it reached the reserve price yet? Now, remember, auctions are a form of street theatre, and you're going to find that the initial bids are usually well below the seller's reserve price. And, of course, the property's not going to sell until it reaches their reserve price. And that's when the auctioneer is going to advise you the property's on the market, or say something like, now we're going to sell. Now, you heard Bryce and I talk last podcast about the fact that we try and start the bidding at what we think is going to be the reserve price on purpose. It stops the momentum of the auction, and it cuts out a lot of bidders who are hoping to get a bargain when our first bid is really, really close to where their last bid is going to be. But sometimes along the way in the auction, I see nervous bidders ask the auctioneer, is it on the market? You're going to know when the property's on the market. Auctions sometimes have to go inside and ask their vendors. They ask, can we sell? Are we happy to accept that price? Other times they don't go in, but they'll actually tell you. However, it shouldn't matter if the property is officially on the market or not, whether it's reached the reserve price or not, because if the seller's gone to the trouble of putting the property to auction, they're keen to sell. Think about it. They've invested their time, their money, and all that emotion in marketing their property. So unless it's been on the market for a month or 6 weeks, all you're now doing is negotiating on the price. So don't show your hesitancy by asking this question. Instead, bid to your preset limit, and hopefully you're going to be the winner on the day, because that's going to be above the vendor's reserve price. Another mistake I see people make is making ridiculous offers. This is the fifth blunder. Starting too low with your bidding might in some cases invite other bidders into the auction ring and allow the momentum to build. Remember a moment ago I suggested we don't want that to happen, so we start high. So start with a strong, with a confident bid that could knock out several of the other contenders early on. If you've done your market research, and hopefully you have, then making a ridiculous low offer, that's going to be a mistake. Not going to get you anywhere. You're not going to get at that price in today's market, are you? Why do that? Now, another mistake I see, is people pretending they're not interested. Now, this is strange. It's weird that some buyers attend auctions and they then pretend they're not interested in them at all, even though they've been to open for inspections and asked for the contract. In my mind, it can work in a buyer's favour to show interest right through the entire auction campaign. I mean, if no one bids at auctions seemingly because they're not interested, then the vendor is legally entitled to make what's called a vendor's bid on the property to help the auction go along. Sometimes it's the opening bid, sometimes they bid along the way. Each state has different regulations for this, but they always have to be declared. So the vendor can't get other people other than the auctioneer to bid on his behalf. That was the old day of dummy bidding, when friends used to push up the value of the property pretending to be interested, being a dummy bidder. But that's illegal nowadays. But the vendor is allowed to, through their agent, make a vendor bid as long as it's declared. Agents, on the other hand, they want to help genuine purchasers of the property, so it's important to be upfront about your intentions in the pre-auction campaign. In other words, tell the selling agent you're interested, because then you're going to be a standout buyer. They're going to watch out for you. They're not going to sell the property prior to auction without telling you about it. It's just a way to stay on the agent's radar. So there's a couple of things that you shouldn't be doing if you're serious about buying a property. I hope these couple of podcasts, the one we just did a couple of days ago and today, are going to give you some assistance buying at auction. But it's actually very difficult to do it on your own if you haven't done it often. It's important, such an important decision. Why try and do it on your own? I mean, buying real estate is a big deal at the best of times, regardless of how well you think the market, how well you've researched the market. Every property purchase brings out those emotions. So what I'm suggesting is, if you'd like to have somebody on your side to help you, why not get my team at Metropole? We've bid at lots of auctions. We actually stop you making emotional decisions. We'll save you time. We've got access to a wide range of properties, the on-market properties and the off-market properties. But we're also able to negotiate a stronger deal because we speak the language of the estate agents. We know what's going on. Sure, all my buyers agents have read the book, Negotiate, Influence, Persuade, but we do a lot of training to help them represent you, just like the selling agent does training for their agents to help their vendors. So we'd like to level the playing field for you. Actually, that's not true. We actually want to give you an unfair advantage. So why not go to metropole.com.au, find out about our range of services, and we'd love to be part of your ongoing wealth creation journey. Well, I hope these last two podcasts talking to you about how to win at auction have been helpful for you. And of course, even if you're not looking to buy a property at auction, sometimes you don't have a choice of how the property is being sold, but even if you're not looking at buying a property at auction, I hope the psychology behind how we deal with an auction that I discussed today and the general research and information that I discussed with Bryce in the previous podcast are going to give you some help moving forward. And if you did get some benefit and you know somebody else who'd benefit, why not tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast? Please let them know about it. Or you could always tell the world by leaving us a review. I always appreciate those. If you want to catch up with me in between these twice weekly podcasts, just look out for me on social media. Look out for Michael Yardney. I'm almost everywhere. And I also have a private Facebook group that I'd love you to join, because what I'd like to do is just give you some tips. I leave a tip every day, a chart, some information, something I don't leave elsewhere to help people understand what's happening on the ground in the markets at the moment. Go to Facebook and look for the Property Update private Facebook group. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?